All right. Good morning and God bless you. Tomorrow is New Year's Day, so I'll say Happy New Year. And let's start it off right. Turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the last letter that Paul wrote. If you wanted to be a fly on the wall with the Apostle Paul and know what he had to say, well, hear his most trusted companion, the one who was most like him. He said in the book of Philippians, no one's going to do like Timothy does. He said, this is a copy of me. And he's telling Timothy, giving him final sort of marching orders. So 2 Timothy, really all the pastoral epistles, but they're really something to look at. And if you would stand for the reading of God's word, I'm going to read chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and we'll see what Paul says about something that we need to continue to keep in mind. He was telling Timothy, keep this in mind all the time. And we'll call today's message a faithful new year. A faithful new year. 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 10. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Father, use the power of your word, Holy Spirit, that you wrote, superintended, moved Paul along at the end of his life to his disciple Timothy, who you told to teach others, who would be able to teach others. And here we are, all these years later, having been taught, being taught, and wanting to teach us. Speak through this and inflame our hearts, embolden our lives, and encourage our spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tomorrow begins a new year. And with it, many people are going to be thinking about New Year's resolutions, right? They'll say, well, this is my goal, that's my goal. And we might even have goals for the larger society, but we really can't control those, right? We can do our little part. But most often we think about, well, weight loss goals or educational goals or, you know, I'm going to get a new car, I'm going to do this, I'm going to retire, hallelujah, you know, that type of thing. I'm not, by the way, unless God says so, but my wife goes on the Medicare in just a couple months. You know, it's like, hallelujah, her boss is saying, right? Because, you know, you don't have to pay that much money anyway. Golly, somebody wake up. My goal is for us to wake up, okay? Well, you know how it is. People are doing that. And then, you know, people think Happy New Year. They say Happy New Year, and they mean that day or that night and things like that. But what about the movement? How about having a Happy New Year all year long? Who wants this year to be the best year that they've had? I do. I really do. And we want to cheerlead for that, but we want to do more than that. We want to look at what God says about that. Yeah, I'm looking at my newlywed couple back there, and they're both looking at each other. Well, of course. You know, woohoo for you. Amen. But I think of, you know, our friend that's in rehab now that lost her leg and all that. And you think, well, how's that going to start? How's that going to be the best year? Yes, but if God is in it, amen? If God's not in it, you don't want it. And if God is in it, it can be the best that it can be, amen? And we need to magnify that. And Paul was telling Timothy, I'm about to die. I've run the race. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And there's a crown laid up for me. And for all who love his epiphany, his appearing, him coming back, who are looking forward to that blessed hope. But in the meantime, what about now? And what about all the ups and downs and all arounds? And how can I keep myself motivated beyond just, okay, well, Happy New Year, or here's my New Year's goal. I'm going to read the Bible through until I get to Leviticus. And some people that have attempted that, but you know. It's a fantastic book, by the way, but you just need some help in it. But that's what we try to do here, isn't it? We try to do that. Someone's going to say, Oh, so we're going through the book of Leviticus next? I don't know. We still have to get through back through Habakkuk. We got 1 Thessalonians we're working on, our worship thing we're working on, and we'll see. My goal is to be less scatterbrained this year. I don't know. There's just so much riches in the Word of God. It's an incredible thing. But today, I want to talk about God's New Year's goal for you, for me, for all Christians, and how this coming year, you can be faithful to God's mission in your life and God's mission for and through your life. Does that sound good? Amen. Now, our text today gives three prime directives for living a life that is faithful to God's mission this year. And it's really easy, if I could say it this way, as saying ABC. ABC, 1, 2, 3. Okay, all right. Yeah, is that your prayer for me? Is this next year I wouldn't go into 70s rock all the time? I know, me too. It's the best decade. ABC, advancing the gospel, believing the Bible, and committing to Christ. And you find that, those three here in, in this text, which we're going to look at. It shouldn't be a very long message today, but we could go on and on and on under these three categories. So the first one, again, is advancing the gospel. Again, advancing the gospel, believing the Bible, committing to Christ. A, B, C. All right, look at verse 8 again. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Jesus Christ is the offspring of David. He was an historical person. He was spoken of many hundreds of years before he was born. Lots of details about his life were prophesied. He's not a myth, and he's not a mere man. He is the divine Messiah, and he is risen from the dead. As Romans 4:25 says, Jesus died for our sins and was raised again, proving that he saves sinners. That's the gospel. The truth is that you have sinned against God. He is the creator and sustainer, as we saw last week, of the universe. And he has given us his law, his Ten Commandments, his rule. James 2:10 says, if you do all the law but violate in one point, you break the law. If I was going down the street and a cop stopped me and said, look, you ran that stop sign. Well, yeah, but I was going the speed limit. I put on my turn signal. You still broke the law. The question is what is the standard? Well, God sets that standard, and the standard is perfection of Jesus Christ himself. He is the standard, and he's also the judge. And do you meet that standard? When you woke up this morning, were you as good as God? The answer is no. The answer is turn to and repent every single day. Martin Luther, in the first of his 95 theses, said that when Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel, he was saying that your whole life is one of repentance. It's turning around towards God. You're always just a little off, and you just keep looking at him. Advancing the gospel starts with your own life. Again, he gives you the law. He's the one that determines the circumstances and the consequences, and only he can set the penalty, and he has set the terms of making peace with him. Now, in his mercy and grace, he's done so by the sinless life and atoning death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in Christ is the only way of salvation. Amen? That's the gospel. On the cross, God treated Jesus as if he lived your life so that he could treat you as if you lived his. That's the gospel. Faithfulness means advancing the gospel, spreading the message in whatever way you can. As Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. How are you advancing the gospel? How do you plan to do it? You can be preaching, teaching, evangelizing, passing out tracts. What are those? And Bibles. You can be giving, serving, supporting ministries and missions. Just even coming to church is part of advancing the gospel, because it's showing that the church is still moving forward. You can be witnessing online. Instead of just parading your bitterness and talking about politics, how about Jesus? Well, that'll shut down all the conversation. Amen. Some of that conversation needs to be shut down. If God was going to give us a political Messiah, he would have sent a president. Jesus Christ did not come to liberate you from your social situation. He came to liberate you from your sinful situation. Amen. So why don't we up the level of discourse this year. It's wonderful. It's tragic that it takes a tragedy for all of God's people to come together and say all these well-wishing and all this blessedness and all these things that we're seeing online with our friend, right? It's wonderful to see you all come together and all that. It's good to be part of that. Hallelujah. But let's keep that going just through the mundane. Do we really need something terrible to happen to make us cling to Jesus? Or should we just talking about it all the time? I like Jesus. I want to be with Jesus. I want to talk about him. This is my life. This is the most important thing in the universe. And the most important thing in the universe is the one that has made it and is keeping it all together and resides inside of me and inside of you. So whatever differences we have, if we have that in common, we have the most important thing in the universe in common. Advancing the gospel means in your own life and then in the life of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then that unit marches like an army. We don't have to have anger and violence and force. We can have Jesus. And he changed the whole universe by dying. Oh, my. Oh, my. Advancing the gospel. And he says, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. I'm just, you know, I just can't. I just got to take the edge off. You just got to remember Jesus Christ. Right? I just don't like this. Well, you're not supposed to like it. If you like everything that you hear, you're never going to change. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know. I celebrate 26 years of sobriety starting tomorrow. Actually, starting about February 28th, but that's okay. How are you advancing the gospel? Online, by phone, by text, in public, on social media. It doesn't mean all you're doing is throwing out Bible verses to everybody all the time. People think they have the annoying or the anointing, but they've got the annoying. Excuse me. You got to talk to someone like a real person. But when you're living it out, what is in the center of your life becomes obvious. Amen. We were at our wedding yesterday, and someone wanted to, take some pictures and things like that. Said, let's get those little cards that you had, those little 1 Corinthians 13, and we do this and all that. She goes, well, obviously you guys are real religious. Praise God. Yeah, it became obvious. It's like, well, these guys won't stop talking about Jesus. You know, the dog sitting on the ground, the best man ever. Anyway, just sitting on the ground and all that. Come on, in Jesus' name, give me them rings, you know. Don't run away. Well, the thing is, you know, there's the false way of doing it. And you're just trying to, like, sell somebody something. You know what I mean? And then there's when it's really inside of you. You don't have to think about, I wonder how I'm going to talk to them. I wonder how I'm going to do that. It just comes out, man. You just live it. Good or bad. When your tree gets shaken, what kind of fruit comes down? That's advancing the gospel. It means sometimes when someone says something to you that seems like a weapon in the hand of the enemy, it's a tool in the hand of God, and that's advancing the gospel. You can get fired for cause and still advance the gospel. You could be mad as all hell at me right now and still advance the gospel. How? I'm going to tell you. You could be just like, I'm just still caught in that sin. I need to get rid of that sin this year. This is the year you can advance the gospel by getting rid of that. This is the year that you can advance the gospel by getting on your knees and repenting. This is the year that instead of painting with a broad brush and putting everybody like that and wind up painting yourself into a corner, give yourself enough time to get down on your knees and change your life and change the world. Because if you change yourself, you just change the world. And I'm telling you, that's advancing the gospel. Everybody in this room can advance the gospel. If you don't even know the Lord Jesus Christ, well, hallelujah, you can advance the gospel today by letting it advance into your heart. It starts with you. It spreads out to others. Make some noise, people. Not polite noise. Think about it. How do we keep doing it? He tells you. He's right here. This is him at the end. So many places. I don't have to write it. You guys know. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Giving, serving, supporting missions, witnessing online, whatever way you can. It's time to tell people about Jesus more than ever this year. Don't think of the obstacles, think of the opportunities. You may not do it like everybody else. Don't worry about everybody else. God will lead you in the way that you can do it. There's places you're going to be tomorrow that I won't be. I keep having to go to the doctor, get them little sticker things and put them on the, in the, you know, those little tracks, you know what I'm saying, in the bathroom. I really didn't like that place. Go ahead. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah, they never invited me back, but that's okay. Tell people about Jesus this year. Amen. Can anybody do that? Yeah. And remember, even if you're limited, God's word is unlimited. You also need to remember this, that in order to be faithful to the mission, you must be faithful to the message. And so part of advancing the gospel is when you are believing the Bible. And that is our second point. Look at verse 9. Anybody with me? There's only three verses. I must be one-third through. All right. For which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. That'll preach all by itself. The word of God is not bound. Charles Spurgeon said, you don't have to fight for the Bible, you just unleash it. Paul wrote this letter in prison. He was suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But even though he was bound, he said that the word of God is not bound. The Bible is 66 books written by over 40 authors in three different languages on three different continents over a period of 1,600 years. And yet the Bible is one cohesive message that points to Jesus Christ as God, Lord, and Savior. There's always been attacks. There always will be attacks on the word of God. There are enemies of the word of God. They attack the message of God, and they attempt to stop the methods of God, and they want to silence the messengers of God. But God's word always prevails. It always accomplishes its purpose. People will be saved or judged through the word of God. Everybody likes Isaiah 55:11, but they don't consider both sides. So shall my word be that which goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose. That thing will succeed, the thing which I sent it. And people say, oh, you know, God's word's going to get it done, going to get it done. And we think just the positive thing, you know, just get it out there enough and people get saved. But it's also going to be the judge of people. So some people, it's hardening. Now, they want it to be hardened. That's their own decision. That's their, you know, God superintends all that. God is sovereign and all that, and we believe in election. It's right here in this verse. I understand that, but the fact of the matter is people get what they want. But God can change what they want. Amen. That's what we know. That's what we know. Anybody changed different? You see, the gospel doesn't suit your taste. The gospel changes your taste. The gospel, we don't fight the culture with gospel. The gospel changes the culture. Well, you guys are all weird in here. Yeah, hallelujah. You know? There's room for you here. There's room for you here. There's room in God's gates. Hallelujah. And they're coming for you. And we're going to get you. And we're going to pray. And God's word will prevail. It always does prevail. And no government, no society, no culture, no demonic plot, no ungodly person, no ungodly law can withstand the power of God's word. Yes, I want certain people to be in office and certain other people to definitely not be in office. But all the wrong people can be in office and all the right things still happen. All the right people can be in office and all the wrong things still happen. We need to believe the Bible. We need to believe the Bible. Advancing the gospel, believing the Bible. You know, they could make the Bible illegal. They could say Christianity is immoral. See, that's they don't do that now. Well, Jesus, well, I like Jesus, I just don't like Christians. But that's going to change. That was the way that it was back then. They demeaned Christ himself. So they could say Christianity is immoral, Christians are immoral. They could try to make proclaiming and distributing it impossible. But the word of God is invincible. How much of it you got in here? How much of it you have in here? Yeah, that means memorizing it, but it also means living it out, believing the Bible, living it out. It's not just about cheerleading for it. It's about being in the game. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? You need to live as if it's true. How are you believing the Bible? What are you doing to apply it to your life? For example, are you actually working as unto the Lord? Or are you being greedy or lazy, stealing, cheating, lying about your work? Is your work about advancing your kingdom without regard to God's kingdom? Yeah. I'm not just talking about your job or your business. I'm talking about your whole life. Why should God give you more if you're only going to use it on yourself? People say, well, you know, we're doing this, and I found myself this year, and it's like, I didn't make more money this year, and I'm not asking for a raise. Anyway, but then there's more inroads. Now this person needs my help. Now that person needs my help. Go help yourself. But instead, it's like, thank you, God, that we have the provision to be able to help. Someone came to me this morning and presented me with a problem. I have no clue what to do. But I knew someone that did know what to do. And they're like, you're throwing this on me? No, they're happy to do it because this is what God has given them. What has he given you? You know, you can't outgive God, and you shouldn't be able to outgive Christians. They should be just flooding people, wanting to be around other people and help other people and all of that. That'll change the world. That is changing the world still to this day. Where do you think hospitals and orphanages and schools and all of that came from? They came from Christians. That's where they came from. You take that out and you watch that stuff evaporate. If you have less and yet you still give God your best, God is well pleased with that. For another example, if you really want to bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, it means getting them to read the Bible, yes, but it means more than that. It means living it before them, demonstrating how the Bible applies to your personal decision-making and thought process. And you say, well, I don't have kids. Your loved ones. People learn what you live. People learn what you live. This is the year. This is it. He's like, look, the great thing about what God did through the Apostle Paul is everything Paul preached, he was living. What I'm saying right here about is believing the Bible, he's living it. I mean, he may not even realize it himself, but look right there in the verse, for which I'm suffering, bound with chains of the criminal. But the word of God is not bound. He's living it. He doesn't have to say, well, you know, I believe the Bible, and then, you know, live out there like nothing. He was living it, man. His words had weight because his life had real gravity because Jesus was the center of his orbit. And that's what we need to do. If you really want to believe the Bible, it's not about, well, I'll try this, I'll try this, I'll try. No, 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 no. All your eggs in one basket, baby. One basket. That's it. I'm all in. Anybody want to be all in? I mean, all in, and here come, the test will come. It doesn't mean, now again, it doesn't mean I didn't do it, so now I'm not all in, somebody else does it all perfect. It means you go all in, and then you make a mistake, and then you come to Jesus in repentance. That's all in. When something else kind of moves out of the orbit, and God says, what was that? You kind of get it right back in. That's the proof of forgiveness. That's what people need. Not we've got to get ourselves all nice and perfect and tidy and beautiful. Then we can be a Christian. I'm all messy and dirty and smelly and I'm the pastor. Right? Doesn't matter how many of these nice little jackets I have. We got stuff. Anybody got stuff? What are we doing with the stuff? Right? You're giving it to God. And then other people see that. And then by direction of not perfection, but direction of Christ's likeness with mercy and grace, we're helping each other go that direction. So instead of picking each other off and go, well, excuse me, church discipline. Okay, whatever, man. I ain't had to spank Vera in I don't know how long. Oh, here she goes. Because when she's going back to running. Because when something happens or whatever, I just say, honey. And what happens? She just corrects. And my grandson in the Air Force, they will correct you. Right? They will correct you. It's like, okay, if you do that, you know, we're going to fall out of the sky, airman. You know, so do this. You know, this is the way it is. You want God's hand upon your life. It's when his hand is off of your life. I'd rather it be that he just seems to be on me more than anybody else and getting it right rather than just letting me go off and woo, there I am over there setting soil into my imagination and doing whatever I feel like doing. When there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. At the Tower of Babel, when he said, now nothing will be impossible for them, he didn't mean, ooh, I'm so afraid of people. They could do anything. He's like, look, now they're going to be so stupid. You know, they'll keep building, and then those people up there will die because they got no air. And they'll think, ooh, they must have made it to heaven. Now the next ones will go up, and the next ones will go up, and the next ones will go up. Right? You ever thought about that? People are stupid. I mean, you got to about, some of the people I'm not talking to in the moment, you got to be about 30, 35, and you go, what was I thinking? Right? Or 55, you know? Coming up on 60, Paul. But that's the thing. That's the thing. Believing the Bible means believing what it says about repentance and coming to him. And people need to see that. They don't just need to see, my life has changed and look how shiny I am now. I don't want to point people to me. I want to point people to Jesus. And if that means he's got to expose my failure, well then whatever. And you're thinking, well, yeah, I know. I can just say it real easy and then go out there and do something else too. But if we meet together every Sunday and we keep going together and things like that, it becomes a little easier. Right? When they start that soccer ride, didn't the whole band didn't just go crazy. Two or three of them started doing it, and two or three of them looked at it, and they go, yeah, all right. Same thing here. People start learning to repent. People start learning to be real Christians and things like that. Then everybody does. It becomes the culture. I don't want to be a culture of beating people up. Like, look, we're so good. I want to be a culture where people are not afraid to be open. It's a safe place. Right? It's a safe place. Processing. My wife and I do this with our hand. We teach this in marriage counseling. Processing. Safe place. We've got to be that. That doesn't mean, well, I stink and I still stink and I stank yesterday and I'll stink worse tomorrow. Hallelujah. No, no, no. We really do change. And if you don't believe people can change, you don't have hope for yourself or anybody else. And if you think you got it all figured out, why am I here and you're there? That was nasty. Wow. Believing the Bible, not just that it is infallible and all of that. Yes, yes, yes. But what does it say right here? The Word of God is not bound. But are you trying to bind it in your own life? You see, the Bible says that I've hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. But instead of hiding the word in our heart, we hide our heart from the word. Just enough, just enough. I believe the Bible, amen, and all that. And then the Pharisees believe the Bible. Let me tell you something right now. The demons believe the Bible. The devil believes the Bible better than you do by far. That's why he acts like he does. There's a lot of people that believe the Bible better than you do, and that's why they act like they are. Uh-huh. You'll catch that. Again, if you want to bring your children up in the nurture of the Lord, you've got to demonstrate it in front of them, your personal thing. You can't just cheerlead for the Bible. Your loved ones need to see you as a repentant and faithful type of person. When you fall down, you get back up. Why? To look better? No, because God, a teachable person who's growing in God, that's what people need to see. If you want to see a great awakening in America today, it doesn't mean we get this guy elected president again. Or at all. I'm not worried about that. If you want to see a revival sweep across the word, the world of God's people, then it all starts with you. You must be faithful to the mission, advancing the gospel. You must be faithful to the message, believing the Bible. That is about repentance and faith. Repentance towards God, faith in Jesus Christ. Read Acts chapter 20. That is the whole counsel of God. Everything is about repentance and faith. Repentance and faith. So, faithful to the mission, advancing the gospel. Faithful to the message, believing the Bible. And faithful to the master, which is the third point, committing to Christ. Verse 10. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul was remembering verse 8, suffering verse 9, and enduring verse 10. Why? For the sake of God's people, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul was faithful to the mission because he was faithful to the master. Paul was willing to do whatever it took. He was willing to pray the price with his life and pay the price with his life. Committing to Christ means enduring whatever comes your way for the sake of God's people. I just don't feel like it, but hey, whoever they are, wherever they are, whenever they come to know Jesus Christ, you've got to be doing and willing to do whatever it takes if you really want to see an awakening of the lost and a revival of God's people. You can't simply talk about how society is declining and how the church is compromising or just cheerlead for biblical standards. I am tired of that. I'm tired of all the talking heads. I'm tired of everybody's got their own way to do this, that, and the other thing. And if we just did this one thing, here are the three things right here. Advance the gospel, believe the Bible, commit to Christ. That is what will change the world. That is what changed my life. Isn't that what changed your life? And the more you started believing it and you started moving out and telling other people about it and started making inroads in your life, you start reading more of the Bible and say, well, no, that's not that bad. Okay, well, I can do this. Well, I don't understand that, but I understand Jesus. And then you're committing. If I had the incredible fat-reducing machine. Been a while since we did this one. And it was like a rolling pin. And it had like a cheese slicer thing on the end of it. And you saw me go, and I was yelling and screaming, and it hurt and it hurt and it hurt. And then suddenly 30 pounds were off of me. And you was like, oh, whoa. And then you see, I'm not hurt. I was like, oh, yeah. And it worked. People would be lining up out the block. And then people would be telling other people. Then people would not be telling other people because I don't want people getting into my secret. Yeah. If you get in something and it's working and you see it, you don't have to take a course in how to talk to people. You just, come on. I start dating my wife and I'm like, oh, yeah. Right? I mean, ask the newlyweds right now. Like, how's marriage? It's awesome. Yeah, exactly. Of course. And mom right next to you, you know, and all that, we know these things. Ah, how's your mother? Yeah, mine either. But that's the thing. You talk about Jesus, they still know. And you see people from different areas and all that, and they talk about Jesus like, yeah, that's what we want to do. Yeah. And so that's the thing. I know it's simple and all that, but remember, here he is at the end. If you are about to leave somebody and you have these final instructions, it's going to be pretty straightforward. It's like, this is what you need to do. He goes, I'm in prison, but the Word of God is not imprisoned. You've got to remember, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I've been preaching this, and the Bible's been preaching this, and it's not bound. And if I have to go through prison, well, then that's fine. If I have to have people slander me, well, then that's fine. I may not like it. I may feel like it's death to me, but it's life to others. So instead of just saying, well, you know, because we think, okay, how much worse can it get? It can get a lot worse. It was a lot worse in that first century. It wasn't legal. And Paul was doing miracles, and they had the audacity to put him in jail. If someone was around healing people and all that, I wouldn't be trying to hit him with a baseball bat. What, they just heal themselves. I'd say, make me tall. No, I wouldn't. But aren't you tired of it every day? Just you go home and you watch it. Society stinks. How do you expect people that aren't saved to act? But how should you expect people that are saved to act? And how do you expect people to say, they're going to say, well, you know, Christians wouldn't do that. How would they know? Well, if we've been acting like that. So let's not just curse the darkness. Let's bring the light. You have to live your convictions out. Faithfulness to God's way is the only real way to push back against the cultural tide. You've got to live out what you say you believe in. The enemies of God are coming in like a flood, and we are the standard that God's raising up against them. How are you committing to Christ? Does inconvenience stop you from serving? You know, if you can't handle discomfort, how are you going to handle persecution? Are you committing your mind? Are you polluting your mind? When you pollute your mind, you poison your mindset. And too often people just hear a message like this, and they go, oh, good job, Pastor. Amen. It's not necessarily a bad thing unless you just got stirred, but you don't actually change. Are you going to get all excited and then think, what a great message this was, but not really do anything about it? Or I'd rather you think this was a terrible message. I better do something about it. Okay, amen. You can't afford to look aside and then get God out of the center of your gaze. That's the pattern of spiritual problems. That's how you get distracted. Distraction leads to deception, which leads to destruction. I'm not saying don't have a good time tonight. I'm not saying don't go watch those football games tomorrow. I'm not saying, you know, don't eat a pizza before you say, I'm never going to eat a pizza again. Whatever you got to do. What I am saying is, what's going to be the center of your goal? You say, well, my goal is I'm going to get this much education this year. My goal is I'm going to talk to this many people about Jesus. Whatever it is, knowing God has got to be right in the center of what you're doing this year. Do you want to know what your New Year's resolution should be? Is to commit to Christ so much that he is in the center, that that orbit gets everything else into order. Let there be or. Let there be order. Light. And you might be thinking, well, I'm on the right track. Amen. But do you go out there and live like the harvest time is here? A lot of people think of terms of commitment just terms of the bottom line. Okay, advancing the gospel, believing the Bible, committing to Christ. You know, I love Jesus, I believe the Word of God, and I pass it out every Saturday. I've got it covered. Huh? But it's not just about the bottom line attitude, it's about your daily actions. Friends, whatever may be going on in your world and in the world, don't lose your focus. Remember Jesus Christ, and remember that every person you have ever met, anybody listening, please, somebody, amen? Every person you've ever met, every person you'll ever meet, every person who has ever lived will be spending an eternity in one place or the other place. Everyone is going somewhere. What are you doing about it? You say, well, God's the one who does the electing. Yes, but we do the nominating. And we don't know who they are. You know, we don't create disciples. We don't create converts. We make disciples of them. Only God turns goats into sheep. And really, they're always a sheep, or they're always a goat. But that's not for us to worry about. Our job is to tell people about Jesus. Our job is to live out the truth of our convictions. Our job is to be kind and to love God supremely and to love others sincerely. Everyone's going somewhere. Just because God is sovereign doesn't mean you're static. Advance the gospel. Believe the Bible. Commit to Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, the Apostle Paul says, we're to pray for the message and the messengers so that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. And let me tell you, the best prayers have legs. Even if you haven't been able to leave your house, even if you're stuck in prison like Paul, you're still on that front line of that prayer. Supporting the life of the church, the work of God, by living for Christ, winning others to Christ, edifying your brothers and sisters in Christ by any and every godly means possible. This is putting legs to your prayers. There's no time for the church to be flinching and floundering. Instead, it's time for the church to be flourishing. To reveal the power of God by His Spirit, through His Word, for His people, and His glory. Amen. In the midst of all this fear and chaos, it's time for a great awakening. I want an awakening to happen. That means people that aren't saved getting saved. And it's time for a mighty revival. That means people that are saved getting stirred up. It's time to be faithful. That's what we need. Don't make yourself feel guilty like a message by this and say, well, that means I'm not going to go out tonight and all that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, what is your focus? What is the center? Advancing the gospel, believing the Bible, committing to Christ this year in ways maybe you hadn't even thought about before. Think of all the opportunity that's out there in your own life. And because if your own life gets on fire, you will set someone else on fire. That is the way this thing works. Faithfulness is absolutely fundamental to the mission of God in the earth today. It's like your ABCs, advancing the gospel, believing the Bible, committing to Christ. Happy, faithful New Year. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you do make things clear, that you do give us marching orders, not just life insurance, not just, you know, retirement package, not just up in heaven and all these things, but right here, right now, we are on earth to tell people about you, to worship together, to worship you, and to encourage